Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Welcome back to All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. My guest has a new project that's out. It's a musical, it's a rock show, it's theater, it's a podcast. John Cameron Mitchell, co-creator of Hedwig and the Angry Inch, has created a new storytelling experience in the form of a podcast musical. In Anthem Homunculus, he plays the fictitious Keenan McKay, a resident of Junction City, Kansas. Keenan has a tumor, and he doesn't have health insurance, and he's determined to crowdsource money for treatment, a project he hopes will go viral. On this newfangled audio podcast stage, we meet McKay's mother, played by Glenn Close, who, yes, sings some punk rock songs. Also part of the cast are Tony Award winners Cynthia Erivo as the mother of Keenan's child, and Patti LuPone as a bebop singing nun. There are 40 actors, including 6 Tony winners, and 30 musicians. There's a love song for a tumor. There's a lot of wonderful weirdness. If you're interested in experiencing Anthem Homunculus in real life, John Cameron Mitchell will be at the performing original songs from the podcast at Topic Talks this Saturday, June 22nd at NYU's Skirball Center. And of course, you can listen to the podcast on your platform of choice, but you can also listen right now to John because he's in studio. I'm so happy to meet you.
Hi. You know, the one thing I'll correct there
please.
Is we're actually on a special platform.
Oh, Luminary.
Yeah.
Luminary, I'm sorry, yes.
Luminary, which is, you know, great people. They're trying to be kind of like the Netflix of podcasts with a subscription-based thing, though you can sample it for free.
I think we're dancing with them a little myself.
Yeah.
I think we are.
You know, and
WNYC.
They're new, they're excited, but they're moving quickly and doing something new because people are used to free podcasts. But in our case, because it was the most ambitious narrative in terms of density and budget. we needed them to help it get made. So they're hoping to make more ambitious audio experiences with larger budgets that you can't do with 2 people in a room, you know, doing comedy, which, you know, can be awesome. But I got, you know, 40 people in a room with 40 songs.
So it's on Luminary.
Luminary, yeah.
We'll say it again.
They have their own app, Luminary.
Was this always a podcast idea?
No, I actually... The structure of it, the idea of someone crowdfunding, he's got a brain tumor, he doesn't know anyone, he's hoping to go viral with this new app-based telethon, technology, was originally a Hedwig sequel. So Hedwig and the Angry Inch, that, you know, was a convenient voice that, you know, I had that I could talk about stuff with, but then I realized her story was so dense, and then... In effect, this is more of an autobiography, minus the tumor, thank goddess, about my life. And so I have Glenn Close playing my mom, a real facsimile of my mom, who was an artist from Scotland. Patti LuPone plays my aunt, who was a nun. Dennis O'Hare is my dad, who was a closeted army general and a wonderful man. Cynthia Erivo is the only fictional character. She's a powerhouse. I don't know if you ever saw in The Color Purple.
Oh, yes.
Changed
and
my
yes,
life.
And it's on my motivational playlist.
Yes.
I'm here.
And she's getting ready to play Harriet Tubman and to free us all.
Yes. She's amazing. So when I want listeners to hear a little bit of this so people can understand what we're talking about. This is from episode 1. It's before this whole thing goes viral, his crowdsourcing, and he's trying to collect money to fix his tumor. We bleeped out the curse words, by the way, so the bosses won't get upset with us. Let's take a listen from a little bit from Anthem Homunculus.
Now, I wrote this song for my tumor. It's actually a conversation between my tumor and me, because I figured if my tumor could sing, it might sing something like this. I'm the mold on your bread, pebbles on your head, the pause in the joke that makes you cry till you choke. As a lover I'm unsurpassed, but I come first and you go last. No rival comes above me, I will you till you love me. The end is nigh, so am I. I am free to
That's John Cameron Mitchell. Several of the songs are the real earworms.
Yes.
I mean, it's truly a musical.
It is. We got my composer, Brian Weller, and I wrote 31 songs. Much of it we wrote in William Burroughs' house in Kansas. And he was one of my heroes, the beatnik, queer, punk, proto-punk, paranoid king himself.
You just put your hands on the walls to
get
the vibes.
I mean, there's bullet holes in the ceiling that he used to shoot from his bathtub. I just knocked on the door, and the caretaker, Tom, was like, "What?" And I said, "I'm writing a musical that might take place on this porch." And he's like, "Never heard that one before." And James Grauerholtz, who was Burroughs' partner, invited us to write the first draft at Burroughs' house. So his, you know, in a way, I don't, if anyone hasn't read Burroughs, there's a kind of phantasmagorical, paranoid humor and madness. You know, a lot, it's violent. It's bloody. It's beautiful. And in effect, we've entered Burroughs. You know, we're in Burroughs' world now.
It's. I hope
Trump is a Burroughs character. You can't believe it, and yet it's true.
It's true. I hope you didn't. I weren't offended by saying it was weird. I was listening to it on the subway yesterday, and I just like. I kept thinking, like, people see my face because I was like,
because you're like,
what is this?
Well, we're trying to push the form.
You are clearly. I'm curious. It's interesting. We had Jenny Slate was here, and she has done a podcast that is really, truly a science fiction drama. And they went out into the middle of nowhere where, you know, her character's supposed to be. I mean, they really went on location.
Ooh, to get the sounds.
To get the sounds and made her wear the backpack that weighed too much to hold her down. So I'm curious, how did you make this?
Well, I'm not going to put a backpack on Glenn Close. She's carrying too many of our burdens. It was really handy because these people who are often very booked and, you know, we can do their entire season in 3 days, you know, so I can, you know, Cynthia Erivo or Denis O'Hare or Marion Cotillard who phoned her part in from Paris, you can do it anywhere. You can do it in studios ideally, but I've often brought my mic to, you know, Glenn's house to grab a few lines. And Patti LuPone was in London recently, and I said, could you shout a line into your iPhone with a towel over your head and email it to me and take a picture of yourself with a towel over your head? and she did, and I drop it in the mix. So, you know, you can do this kind of, you know, let's put on a show, Judy Garland thing with audio. Technologically, it's possible now, and the actors are up for it because they're always up for something interesting. They have to do their money jobs and then their joy jobs. Mm-hmm. So we had no problem casting it with the best. An Anthem, which was produced by Topic Studios, is hoping to do a different musical every season with different writers.
Right. I heard you describe it like American Horror Story.
Yeah.
Right?
So yeah. That's, I mean, it'll be a different cast every time. Mm-hmm. But that's our dream, is that we... we wanted to push... the audio drama, I guess, into a denser form. I mean, when people say, well, what is it? You know, and some people aren't used to podcasts either. They still think it's a video thing. And I'm like, imagine you're listening to the film of Hedwig just without the visuals. You know, it's that dense and that much information. Of course, my character, who is doing an audio telethon, can describe the things the audience can't see. But the joy is, of course, the joy you get when you... read a good book, but everyone's reading the parts now. It's not an audio book because it's happening live, but you have to bring your own imagination to it, which is, I think, one of the reasons podcasts are more popular now, because people are weary. You know, they have eye fatigue, and they want to use that part of their brain that hasn't, you know, that you stimulate when you read a book, you know, which is you bring your own stuff to it.
It's also intimate.
It's intimate.
Audio is incredibly. People are, you know, you're right here, you're right next to them. Yeah. I think about that when I'm talking to people.
Did you find that you could, because ours is so, you know, if you miss a line, you miss the scene. Was it okay traveling on the subway? Was your headphones good enough?
It was, but I did hear a line that made me do the snort laugh, and so I had to go back and listen to it a couple times.
What was that line?
It's in episode 3 when our past is because... We lost our past.
Oh, right, because the kids are like over documenting with their phones, so they scream out. We fetishize the past and over curate the present because we've been cheated out of a future.
This made me laugh.
There's some symmetry there, but I get to, you know, a lot of stuff is jokes and thoughts that I've had over the years that my character, which is a version of me, it's an alternative autobiography. What would I be like if I never left that small town? Which I think all of us think about, you know, what if we hadn't had that abortion or married that person or
accepted that job offer, went to that college versus this college.
Yeah, who would I be? Yeah. I would probably still be a creative person, but I might be a bitter liberal shut-in. I mean, we're all becoming dangerous shut-ins nowadays. Does anyone not believe in a conspiracy theory? Oy, gewalt.
You're making me laugh. My guest is John Cameron Mitchell. The name of his new podcast series from Luminary and Topic is Anthem Homunculus. It is a podcast musical. It's interesting. Glenn Close had this great quote. She sort of said, "I kind of felt like we're on the edge of a new art form in a way."
She did say that, didn't she? I mean, it's an old art form, an ancient one, you know, before TV, of course, radio gave us the drama and we would sit around the radio and the serial is not unheard of. But we are trying to take, I mean, I wrote this after the Hedvig sequel. I wrote it as a TV series, which was kind of turned down by all the Hollywood powers that be. There was a lot of resting pitch face is what I call it.
Would you like some water, John? That's what they say after.
Yeah. Would you, right. Anything I can get you other than
a deal?
Coffee. Resting pitch face is that, you know, eyebrows high. What am I going to have for dinner? Is on the inside. Or can I yawn without opening my mouth? I've seen it all. But it was still respectful. If I brought Hedvig to them now, sight unseen, I would get the same result. You know, if you don't fit into the genre, it's harder. You know, we're finding it hard to publicize this because people don't do regular podcast reviews, which is where a lot of people find out their information. So I'm, personally emailing New York Times editors and saying, you know, there's going to be a lot more of these. Why not get a podcast reviewing beat, a regular one, started? And we're willing to be your first victim. No response yet.
Well, we're doing that on the show once a month. We're doing
good
reviews
and
previews of podcasts because it's
and print's always
it's
behind.
Important. Yeah. It's important. I think that, you know, it's portable. We live in this world. Think about how many people can't go to a musical for whatever reason, can't afford it, physically can't get there. Yeah. This is an opportunity to have a musical in your hands.
And have one that's not just a June Moon, you know. And I want to do more in this audio form. And a lot of my friends who have been rejected by TV or Hollywood have these old scripts. I said, dust them off, rethink them for audio. And now friends of mine are doing that. I was inspired by Julian Coster, who does Orbiting Human Circus out of WNYC. Mm-hmm. Night Vale, of course, is a progenitor. Adventures in Babysitting, my friend Stephen Winter does, is one called Dream Boy. There's many coming. So journalists, editors, get your beat going because this is not going away.
Do you think it could become an incubator?
Yes,
that's for television and for, you know, for streaming platforms?
It certainly is. I mean, you're seeing shows like Homecoming and Missing Richard Simmons and many of them.
Dear John.
Like books. Right. You know, the editors and the publishers, they know that that's the next possible step. And very much, we've already had a lot of interest from, you know, Broadway producers and film producers to move on, you know, take another step with ours, which I am definitely going to do. It might be hard to get, you know, that entire cast on Broadway because they're, you know, primo. But if it's a film, it's very possible. So it's a form that I love, and I lavished Brian and I lavished a good year and a half on this, and I'm more proud of it than I am even of Hedvig. Maybe it's because it's more about my family.
Yeah. Will you tell people your family story for those who don't know?
Well, I was brought up in the military. My mom's a Scottish painter. My dad was a general in the army, and they both suffered and live with Alzheimer's now. they both got to a sweet spot, you know, which is a miracle, you know, that doesn't always happen. My mom's very happy. But I'm on tour doing The Origin of Love, which is a concert about the making of Hedvig around the world to pay for her healthcare. I also said, all right, it's time to get back to TV, and I'm doing a show called Shrill on Hulu.
You're so funny in that
which
show.
Which is a really good show, isn't it?
Sure, it's great. It's based on Lindsay. Thank you. Lindy West's book about, she's a body positive woman. She was writing for this alt weekly, kind of like, the Boston Phoenix, all those papers. Mm-hmm. And you play her boss who...
I'm her mean gay boss, who fat shames the hell out of her. And didn't get the memo that you can be fat and healthy. And he's...
I didn't even think about him as being gay. I just think it was like sort of that has-been-y. Like, he was a bass player of Bikini Kill or something.
He was like probably just in one rehearsal.
Exactly.
But he's like, exactly. He's someone who...
I ate lunch with Debbie Harry.
Things like were better in the 90s and, you know. I mean, he was right often. But he won't let you forget it.
You know that guy.
Yeah.
We all know... He's like Michael from The Office
3.0. He just knows too much. And the
has
next
no time
season,
for someone who's not like him. Just no time for anybody.
And he's like, question authority, but don't question me. No. That kind of punk.
that guy.
But this season, my character goes, you know, to unexpected places. I'm also on The Good Fight playing another queer villain based on Milo Yiannopoulos.
Right.
That... opportunistic yet intelligent snake.
My guest is John Cameron Mitchell. So wait, I want to ask you before you go about World Pride.
Yes.
This sounds like it's going to be a big deal.
We're soaking in it, baby.
Sounds like it's going to be huge.
The homos are coming. They're flooding in. The Airbnbs are full.
There's clapping in my control room.
The Airbnbs are well decorated. And I had a beautiful experience. You should look into it. But there's something called Pride Table, which is in the Times right now, where through StoryCorps, I think is the sponsor, they have chefs who are like graduates of Hetrick Martin, you know, queer youth group, and they tell their stories while they serve the audience.
Wow.
And there's like voguing, there's a story from a Stonewall vet, Martin Boyce, who had a restaurant and was a queen in the day, telling the story of Stonewall from his point of view, and then serving you a creme caramel with, you know, broken sugar glass for the broken glass of Stonewall. It sounds corny, but it's the most moving
dramatic
thing I've experienced. Yeah, but it's fun.
Dramatic's okay.
Yeah, I was there with Alex Newell and it was a kind of a Kirsten Gillibrand. It was the beginning of Pride for me. We have 3 shows at Town Hall next week. Also, this The Origin of Love thing, and I'm singing at Central Park on Sunday for the Pride Resistance stage, which I think is separate from the main stage. I've always been alternative, even amongst the queers.
My guest has been John Cameron Mitchell. The name of his podcast is Anthem Homunculus. You can get it from Luminary.
Luminary app.
It's a pleasure to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
Coming up after the break.
Happy Pride.
Gothamist. This is All of It.